the way that coaching works right now is that you look at a player and you look at certain things that he or she is doing, and then you'll be giving them feedback on that one instance, that what you saw right now and right then. Your eyes can capture only at 12 FPS, but if you capture them as video, you get 60 FPS, which means 5 times more data points where you can go into detailed analysis later. The coach doesn't have to be there. Even if someone is traveling, it could be done remotely without the need for two players or the two people to physically present close to each other.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. This is your host, as always, Roan. And I'm excited to talk to you about cricket tech. We're going to focus all this month of October on cricket, a sport that I'm very close to, of course, personally being an Indian. It's a sport I've grown up playing through the gullies and the schoolyards of India, wherever you go in India. And there's a reason for it, is that in this month of October, if you haven't caught it already, the Cricket World Cup started on the 5th of October. It's a sport that is growing, of course, in India and other parts of the world. It is now a sport that is being taken quite seriously as an emerging league in the United States. There are Indians everywhere in the world and they love to play their cricket. So we decided at Sports Tech X to focus this month on showcasing cool tech from the world of cricket. And there are very few cooler tech companies in the world, in the cricket world, than the ones I have on the show today. Ludimos and their CEO, Madan Rajgopal, CEO and founder. Welcome to the show, Madan.
Hi, Ron. Pleasure to be here and pleasure to be discussing cricket with you and your audience.
Yeah, I don't know if you get a chance to do that much. Well, I guess you do a lot, but yeah. As Europeans, we don't talk about cricket enough. So I wanted to talk about it all of this month. What does Ludimos do? Ludimos is a coaching and analytics, AI-based, I should say, coaching and analytics platform for cricket. Fairly straightforward. You might have seen similar solutions for other sports. You take your mobile phone. It's recording you as you play cricket, whether you're batting or bowling. If you're unfamiliar with these terms, I would recommend watching a YouTube video. Think of the hitter or the pitcher in baseball. But you should know who a batter or bowler is. We don't have to get into that level of semantics. But it's essentially recording you through your mobile device and giving you a bunch of insights about what you're doing and how you can improve, most importantly. Is that a fair summation, Madan?
Yeah, I mean, you are absolutely spot on. Mobile phones are accessible right now. Every single player, coach has one with them. And we decided, why not use that powerful device to give coaches and players data and insights, which would help them to train the players in a better way and to learn from the coaches in a better way. So you train and learn smarter.
Makes complete sense. Again, we've seen this for other sports. We've actually spoken to founders in other sports, but I like to talk about cricket. But before we get there, Madan, let's set the context a bit. I want to know about you, your background, because you are Indian, but you don't live in India. You are based in Europe and in the Netherlands, which, yeah, is a country that has appeared in the World Cup a bunch of times. Apart from England, I would say maybe the biggest European country for cricket, maybe with the biggest heritage. Well, outside of the UK, let's forget Scotland and Ireland.
Maybe. Exactly.
Yeah. So tell us about how you got to Netherlands, why you wanted to start Ludimos, and then we'll come to the solution.
Right. I think, so in India, I did my bachelor's in production engineering, similar to mechanical engineering. And in the fourth year of the course, I had a very strong and powerful statement from one of my professors. So we are working on a smart CNC machines, which will do absolutely accurate, you know, manufacturing of the things. And he said one thing, that if you add 32 sensors or 106 sensors, whatever the number is, which I can't recollect. But if you add a certain number of sensors to that machine, you can turn it into an intelligent machine altogether. So that really struck a nerve in me. It was in 2009-ish. Then I thought, well, that was fascinating, right? How can you make machines think? How can you make machines do intelligent things? So that led me to look for opportunity to pursue my master's in AI. That led me to the Netherlands, where I graduated in AI in 2012 indeed. And since then, I've been working as a scientist, as a researcher for a few companies, helping them to kind of bridge the gap between research and the actual market application of the research. And since 2018, I've been a freelance or consultant data science and machine learning expert. And in 2019, I started the company Ludimus to really help cricketers with, data and insights. So the journey is that, as I said, coming from India, my dream was to share the dressing room with Sachin and Saurav and play for the country, right? That's the dream. And it's 99.9% of all the players' dreams back in those days.
Sorry, Madan, to interrupt you, but just for context, when he says Sachin and Saurav, Sachin is Sachin Tendulkar, God in India, as he's otherwise known. And Saurav is Saurav Ganguly, the Prince of Calcutta, as he is otherwise known. These are two of the most iconic cricketers in Indian history. But go ahead. So these are basically his dream was to share the dressing room with, Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
So that was a dream. But obviously coming from, a mid or a lower socioeconomic family, I couldn't afford coaching. I can't buy equipments. I can't, pursue my dream in terms of cricket. So I focused elsewhere, which is studies and AI, and that I explain right now. But still, cricket was something that taught me a lot when I grew up, and I didn't want to leave that. So I'm still playing cricket in the Netherlands, and I wanted to contribute back to it. So that's when I realized something happening with me personally, that I wasn't performing well. And being in the tech field, I was looking for solutions that could help me to track my progress and help me improve as a player. At that point, I realized there was no technology that's been built for cricketers. So then a thought came up, why can't I build something? And Ludimus came into existence, and we are building Ludimus for the last 4 years.
And I believe that is when we met, right, Madan? I think we met in the Amsterdam Arena. I was there at, I think it was the Sports Tech World Series conference, if I'm not mistaken. And you had, you were starting out in your Ludimus journey. We were kind of pretty early in our Sports Tech X journey as well. Like, I was there to speak about something, but we'd only done a couple of reports. We were quite early. I mean, Sports Tech X officially, we started working only in 2018. I mean, we've been doing research and stuff before that. But so a similar timing, shall we say. We interacted first then. And since then, I've heard a lot about Ludimus. We've actually tested the product. We've actually done a video using your app. I think that was also like in 2020 or 21. We've been interacting regularly since then, and it's been great to see your progress. So we've established that Ludimus is a mobile app that will record you playing cricket, you practicing especially, and provide you insights on how you can improve. So let's talk about how this goes to market. This is a purely consumer-driven app, or do you have like a B2B2C model where you sell to academies and then they in turn sell to the cricketers? How does that work?
So we are selling this as a B2B product in its primary form. And then also we do scouting as a service. So we help franchises, national associations, and district associations to go out and search for talents from every nook and corner of their geographies of interest. So we have two value propositions right now. And in parallel, we are working towards a B2C proposition, which we will be launching somewhere early 2024.
Got it. And so who are the associations that you're working with right now?
So right now, we are working with 10 national associations. So we have Cricket Netherlands, Cricket Scotland. We have we had Cricket Germany, Cricket Denmark, Cricket Belgium, Cricket Spain. And we had also Cricket Argentina as well. So we work with all these associations, and we deliver, let's say, value through not democratizing, but gathering the data for the coaches and helping them to see the bigger picture than what's currently being followed in the cricket coaching space.
So break this down for me a bit. Say I'm the head of a small association. I mean, I would assume, okay, let's start with small associations, and then we'll get to the bigger ones, which are... Sure. Let's say, the ECB, which is the English Cricket Board, or the BCCI, whatever. That's like top tier, right? Before we get there. So how, if I'm the head of, I don't know, the Zimbabwean Cricket Association, which is a pretty, it's a country that's played a lot of cricket historically. How would I engage Ludimos, and what could you do for us?
All right. So look, cricket is still being coached traditionally. And what I meant by that is a lot of things are repetitive in nature. You go and you train it 1,000 times or 10,000 times until it becomes a habit for you, right? That's how you acquire new skills. If you're having, let's say, hundreds of players that you're trying to coach, and you can't really think all the players all the time. And the way that coaching works right now is that you look at a player and you look at certain things that he or she is doing, and then you'll be giving them feedback on that one instance, that what you saw right now and right then. Your eyes can capture only at 12 FPS, but if you capture them as video, you get 60 FPS, which means 5 times more data points where you can go into detailed analysis later. But the biggest problem is that since you're looking at only a small portion of a player, you're missing out on the bigger picture. So what we do is we just put a tripod and a camera and we capture every single session, every single ball that the player is training. The coach doesn't have to be there. Even if someone is traveling, it could be done remotely without the need for two players or the two people to physically present close to each other. So the moment you start capturing data, you will see something amazing happen, right? So I have bowled 100 balls last week. What was my average speed? What line and length did I bowl? To who did I bowl? What was the outcome like? So then if you do that over weeks and months, you would start to see a pattern that would emerge. Either your ball speed goes up, or whatever the goal that you agree with your coach, right? I want to increase my bowling speed, or I want to play 360-degree shots. That's a goal, but there's no way for a coach or a player to objectively evaluate whether I have achieved that goal or not. And since a lot of things is being subjective, a coach would look and say, you know what, we have improved, we worked on this, and you're doing the right things. Compare that with Ludimus, where we say, look, I have 1,000 shots of you playing speed. We wanted the bat to flow square to square, and most of the times you're doing the exact same thing that we discussed. So you have an objective now, or you can validate your opinions and thoughts objectively using data and Ludimus.
Scientifically, objective assessment is now available through the camera. Perfect. Is the solution, in your experience till now working on it, is it, because I can imagine this is, of course, for pros, but also it is for grassroots, right? For the kids.
Yeah.
Is there a stronger application on either side, or is there any changes to the solution, or is plug and play, whatever level you're playing at, bang, you can record yourself, the AI gives you the insights, and off you go.
Yeah, I think it's just plug and play for all the players. We work with Cricket Serbia, we helped them win the first ever ICC tournament last year. And we also served RCB as well, one of the elite franchises in the cricket. So we have a spectrum of clients where we add value through exact same platform and core technology.
Superb. So whether I'm a club cricketer or I'm an aspiring professional, your solution would be applicable to me. Fantastic. So we've established the context. You're currently selling B2B, but you're building towards a B2C model as well. The solution is for everyone, but you right now your go-to-market is through associations and clubs. On this journey now, like what's next? What do you need, or what do you think is holding back Cricket Tech? And I ask that not just from a Ludimos perspective. It's more a wider topic around Cricket Tech, because from our side, we've of course seen different types of solutions. We've seen coaching platforms. We've seen a lot of like hardware-based devices, which will either be attachments onto a cricket bat and or a sleeve on your bowling arm or stuff like that. But it feels like Cricket Tech hasn't really broken through, even though there is a pretty decent market for it. You'd imagine between India, Australia, England, South Africa. These are big countries with pretty fanatical cricket following audiences. What do you think is the barrier for Cricket Tech to break through? Is it just there isn't enough investment, there isn't enough money in the game to support this technology? How does Cricket Tech really come to the fore?
Right. There is definitely a lot of money in the sport itself. I mean, IPL is gaining in valuation, and what IPL has done, IPL for viewers that don't know, it's Indian Premier League. That's the biggest league for cricket in the world. and it has paved the path for cricketers, individuals to think that cricket can be a career, can be a fulfilling career, right? And since IPL, we are now seeing new T20 and T10 leagues popping up all over the world, which means, and they are paid leagues for cricketers and athletes, which means there's ample opportunity for players to go out and make a career in cricket. So I think that's where we're headed towards. The biggest problem that I see is culture and context. So culture, as I said initially, cricket is being still taught traditionally, right? So there's still the notion that a coach has to be next to the player and view everything through his naked eyes and then judge what's right and wrong, right? That culture is still there. And through repetitions, they fix a lot of things, but we are still not moved into what baseball did, let's say, in 2004 and 5, trusting and becoming more and more data-driven. Right. So T20 games have accelerated that a bit in terms of power hitting and how can you kind of create more pace. But I think for the wide, and that's available only for elite athletes, right? That's not ingrained when you start learning cricket. That's one of the biggest problems. How can you change the culture in such a way that you start looking into data, use data in order to assist a player to acquire skills faster and smarter. Number two is context. And the context is basically in terms of the products and the services themselves. As you rightly pointed out, there are about 6 different types of bat sensors. There are ball tracking apps. There are biomechanical apps, both marked and markerless kind of capture systems. If you look at the overall picture, cricket is actually a combination of 3 elements, the bat, the ball, and the player. So I can have a bat sensor that can tell me the last swing that I made had 98% power efficiency, but without knowing where the ball pitched, the speed of the ball, and what the ball did in the air, there's no context of whether I did a good shot or a bad shot, right? And similarly, you can have a ball tracking app which can tell you, like, say, for 100 balls, your line length and speed. But if you don't know how you ran up, how did you gather, how did you kind of land, and how did you convert your momentum into pace, you're just measuring the outcome, but you're not measuring the action or the body that's producing the outcome, right? You can't improve. So the missing piece is that context. For me personally, our philosophy, that's what I said, we're doing the hard thing of doing 3 things at a time, which is measuring the bat, the ball, and the biomechanical abilities of the player. The moment you put 3 things in one platform, then you have that rich context that you're missing. Suddenly, I can now tell to a player, you played 50 shots in the drive or in the cover region, whereas you played only 2 shots of certain line, certain length, or certain speeds in this way, right? So that will give players insights about the exact skill set. It's not about one thing, but it's about the entire gameplay. And then when you combine that with your biomechanical aspect, am I in the right position? Am I aligned in the right way? Am I producing the right bat speed? Then you have a much, much more enriched data, which would then allow coaches to trust it and use it in the coaching process, right? So because it's missing a context, I have seen and heard and discussed with coaches that they would buy these bat sensors. And after 3 weeks and 3, maybe a max 4 weeks, they know exactly what they are doing. There's not much improvement. So they're stuck with the question of what's next.
Right.
And that's where the problem is. It's a much harder problem to solve, but we are trying to solve that problem through our platform.
Which is such a... Because I remember getting that similar feeling from some of these batches. And there are others, some that do it better than others. But I feel like you're feeding me data, but not really helping me. What do I do with this data? And I think that, as you rightly said, the context is so important. I think the first point that you made is super relevant. By the way, I completely agree with you, Madan, that there is enough money in the game, certainly in India, which is by far and away the richest cricket league, is the richest cricket board, far and away, no question. Yeah. But that does not mean that Australia doesn't have money. Australia is also trying to spend time on innovation, the English board as well. There are leagues, as I said, popping up in the US, which will be a very serious league. It's something that a lot of people will be watching because they bring that experience of being data first with all the other leagues. So there's no reason that an American franchise or franchise owners or franchise back office would not approach it the same way that they do with other sports. So data coming into play, which is not traditional in India.
Exactly.
It's only at the elite level, at the grassroots level. Kids are not really measuring what they're doing. When I play cricket as a kid, forget data. Mobile phones weren't a thing. That's a different story. But that idea of data wasn't really there, which I think is changing, which is important. And then with data comes good context, how easy, accessible it is. The fact that this is AI on your mobile phone makes it super powerful and usable. I really like a lot of things about how your solution brings home the idea. And of course, I hope that that you will find plenty of market and plenty of implementation.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
Speaking about the World Cup, which I started the conversation with, what tech are you excited about seeing? Because cricket as a sport hasn't really embraced tech. It's embraced broadcasting tech, I will say. There's a lot of innovation. You see all the different types of cameras and lots of graphics and lots of cool stuff there. But is there anything else? I mean, we've now got a DRS system, which has come in, the decision review system, which came in about a few years ago, where the umpire can refer to a TV umpire. Is there any innovation or tech coming up at the World Cup that you are excited about, interested to see how that will play out?
Honestly, I've been not following that much of that. But what I would love to see, at least what I see where things are going, is, let's say, I mean, Hawkeye is one of the go-to brands in terms of the ball tracking systems. I've seen them trying out with few biomechanical markers and aspects. So I think understanding player biomechanics of how certain things come about, I think that's one of the key things to kind of showcase in a game, so that you can find how Virat plays a drive, what's uniqueness about him, or how does Joe Root the exact same thing, but what's the differences? So you can get into minute level player analysis and comparisons. That's something that I'm super excited about if that happens. And I think from broadcast perspective, what I would really like to have is a really advanced fan experience, right? So, how can I experience and enjoy the game like the player? Can I be in the shoes of the player himself while he's playing the game? There are a few systems tried out with, you know, helmet cameras and whatnot, whereby you could create a 3D, let's say a metaverse kind of situation where you get the feeds and you kind of live and you take spot of the player and experience what the player sees and how he approaches the game. So I think that's something that would be extremely cool if ICC could pull it off. And I know that there was something like this in discussion and a few POCs built up, but if they could get that, it would be super cool.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think on the first side, of course, on the performance side, there'll always be areas to improve. But if cricket really invests in the fan experience, they've experimented a lot in formats. As you said, T20, you've got the 100 in England. You've got also the 10-over formats. You've got a lot of different formats that they play with.
Yeah.
But instead of just focusing on the action on the field, if you focus on the action either in stadium or at home,
yeah,
the fan can have a better experience. I think cricket can do a better job with that. I think sports in general is working on doing a better job with that, about engaging with the fan in a better way. On the commercial side, it's how you monetize the fan. But on more than the commercial side, it's if you deliver that better experience, you guarantee A, that fan coming back, and B, more fans getting interested. Which also adds to the commerce of the game as well. So lots of layers there. We've seen, I think there was an HCL, which was announced a partnership at the World Cup. We've seen a few tech partners and stuff. But like the things that we've seen at other events, like, I don't know, AI commentary, for example, which happens in golf and tennis. I don't know if it's relevant for cricket. Or different types of animated or real-time rendering of cricket or sport in an animated format, which brings in kids into sport. Things like that, I think cricket can do a better job of experimenting with. Well, we hope that they will do at the World Cup. All right. What direction would you like to see from, let's say, from your product perspective? Where do you think are the next steps that your product can go in evolving cricket and cricket technology?
Right. I mean, we have a lot of directions and paths laid out in front of us. I think based on how much we raise and who is a backer and how much, you know, backing do we get, kind of defense, how ambitious and how crazy we want to be. So I think for us, the biggest thing is that cricket is, there are more than, you know, few hundred thousands of games that are played every single year. It's not going to stop. It's going to grow. And 99% of these games or teams, they don't have a performance analyst, right? And for us, the question is, can we enable Ludimus to be your automated or your online AI-assisted performance analyst, which will look at your game, and once you're done with the game, you go back home, you take a shower, and then you come back, it'll give you insights on where you did things good, bad, and where you can improve for the next game, right? We can do that. And that's one thing for the teams and leagues to, by doing this, you're making teams more competitive. You're making them learn the right things and execute the right things, by which we are increasing the standards of playing itself for the game. Number two, as I said, as I've been repeating a few times, cricket is still taught a bit traditionally and it's repetitive in nature, which sometimes can be boring as well. How can we make sure that we can bring some fun and entertainment into learning the game? Again, it's a point that bringing technology at the very earliest stage. So we are working, at least trying to build a concept called gamified skill acquisition, though it may not be, let's say, new terminology in other sports. In cricket, it could be of extreme value. As cricket is a complex sport in terms of how you biomechanically perform a certain action, you can't teach that for players under the age of 13. It's quite difficult for them to understand that. So we are trying to create gamified ways in which we give them a challenge, and by performing the challenge and by competing against others, you will indirectly acquire the right set of skills to get there. And we would design those games in such a way that it's progressive based on your skill levels and your gender and your age category. And then as you progress through the ladder, then you would acquire and you take the next steps. And by doing this, we're solving two problems. The biggest problem, as I said, the culture, which is capturing data. But by gamifying, there is a reason expectation from the players to do it themselves, because they want to compete with their peers and compare themselves where they stand against the best. By doing that, they're capturing the vital data, which we will then feed it to the coaching side, where they're going to use that to kind of give the right feedback and the nurturing that the player needs in order to improve the game. So we are tackling this from a user experience, gamification, and the data point in multiple angles, so that we give a better way of learning and teaching for future cricketers.
And the gamification adds a stickiness to the product. It makes the person
exactly.
come back to the product. You want to see your name off the leaderboard.
Exactly.
And all of that you're doing while acquiring skills.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the indirect byproduct is that if I have all of the profiles of players doing that from a young age of 8, 9, 10, 13, then we can understand from a very early stage who has a natural talent, who can be taught good skills to play cricket. And also these profiles can be shared with the scouts, so that they also get to be seen by the people at the right clubs and the associations and the franchise at a very early stage, so that they can be taken into an academy program from a very younger point, which means you're getting the opportunity that you deserve and you don't have to fight. I never had the opportunity back then, but now we can make sure that we put you right in front of the people that are scouting for, let's say, the best and biggest clubs in the world. And if you're good enough, you have a chance, fair and equal chance, of making it to those franchises without a problem.
Absolutely, which is what I was saying, that this is A, the stickiness around the product, or the ability to help yourself improve, is important for the product, for you to gain more users, but it's arguably more important for the actual cricketer themselves, the budding cricketer themselves.
Yeah.
Great stuff. All right, so we've covered from the product perspective which direction you're going in. Let's talk about from the business side. From the next 12, 18 months, what needs to happen? What are you going to focus on? You mentioned a funding round already.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to elaborate on that a bit and talk to our listeners about what you're raising and which direction you're heading in.
Right, cool. So as I said, we are building one of the complex technology for cricket. We have fairly good success with that. And we want to apply the technology to unlock the actual analytics and insights, right? So I think that's the next step for us. So we are raising between 1.2 and 1.5 million euros. And let's say roughly 30 to 35% will be invested in R&D side of things to really unlock the biomechanical batting and bowling side of cricket. And 35% of the fund will be really put into growing the business, both globally but also in India. As I mentioned briefly, we just hired a founding partner from India, Kunal, and he has a fitness background. He comes from Kulp. And our goal is that to really unlock the opportunity in India and also to start adding value to cricketers. I mean, that's the biggest market for us, right? So unlock and execute our plans within India. This is what we would do. And the remaining fund that we have will be spent into marketing and product development around, let's say, cricket, the technology itself. For example, you can't just do with data, right? You need scheduling, you need drills, you need, let's say, you know, data management, you need player management. Without that, the platform is incomplete. So we will be using the remainder of the funds to build the product around the technology and to deliver a much richer and a great user experience for our users.
Sounds powerful. By the way, because you mentioned the name Kunal, can you give me the full name and where is this person from?
Kunal Raichandani is his full name. And he's now in Hyderabad.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, there are 1.4 billion Indians, so there's very low chance that I would know Kunal. But I actually do know a Kunal based out in Bangalore, who's a former Ranji cricketer, who's got a great startup in cricket. So it might be too small a world, but India's not small at all. So that chance is pretty low. But yeah, good stuff. Sounds like you guys are heading in the right direction. Of course, you need the support of investors. So little call to action. Anybody who hears this and feels interested, even if you are an investor or not, want to know more about what's happening at Ludamos, feel free to reach out to Madan, I guess, maybe on LinkedIn or via email. Either is fine.
Yeah, both is fine for me.
Perfect. We will drop his coordinates in the show notes. All right, Madan, we've covered a lot, I think. We've talked a bit about cricket tech and the world and some of the problems with it and the opportunities that it presents. Of course, we've covered Ludamos, which is a super interesting solution, one that I've enjoyed using. And we've talked about what's next. So thank you for your time and coming on the show. Before I let you go, though, I have one more question to ask, which is my favorite question to ask. I like to believe that we are all sports fans first. So I want to know what has been your favorite sporting moment, either as a fan or as an athlete yourself.
Well, I mean, there are so many moments for me. I mean, Sachin hitting sixes in Sharjah against that dominant Australian attack, right? I mean, that's amazing. And you have T20 World Cup winning the first edition. But for me, still, the thing that really made a huge impact was the six that sealed the victory in the World Cup for us in 2011. I mean,
iconic moment in India.
It's a very iconic moment
in sports history.
Yeah. Also, for me, the build up of the team when Dhoni got the baton from Sourav Ganguly, and then the way that we built the team, and the resilience that was shown, and the caliber of players that came off the World Cup and that are carrying the baton right now. Yeah. I think that was an interesting phase for me. As I said, cricket has taught a lot. And that World Cup, it was something phenomenal for me to watch and also to cherish that moment of, you know, winning the World Cup in home soil. So that's my moment.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I've had a few Indian guests and usually it'll be that moment. The same as when an Argentinian comes on and he will talk about Messi and the 2018 World Cup, the 2022 World Cup. Iconic moments in sporting history are iconic for a reason because we all love them. Incredible. I will make a reference to the first moment that Madan mentioned, which is the Desert Storm in Sharjah. I was a fairly young kid, I think maybe 10, 12 or something like that, and watching Sachin absolutely destroy the Australian attack. Funny story, maybe just for you. I don't know if you probably remember Michael Kasperwitz.
Yeah.
He was one of the bowlers in that lineup, who also, of course, came through the Stadia program with his
spot car.
I believe they're not working on that anymore. I'm not sure. But
They are?
Okay.
They are still. I mean, I've been in touch with Michael Kasperwitz about sports car and a few other things, but I'm not sure whether Michael is still involved, but the company is pushing through several other avenues in the sports domain.
Got it. And this is one of those fun moments where you see watch somebody that play cricket as a kid, and you've seen them on TV, and now you're in conversation with them and you're talking about business and stuff. It's we love working here. Madan, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been an absolute pleasure. I always love a chance to talk about cricket. I've gotten get plenty of chances over the course of this month or so. But it was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for taking the time.
Ron, pleasure is mine. Thanks for having me and all the very best with the other series.
Yeah. Thanks. And be sure to check out the rest of our shows or rest of our episodes on cricket tech. Like I said, if it's a sport you don't know too much about, take the time. It is a growing sport. And I will make the point again, as the US takes the sport seriously, it might emerge as the sixth big league. I mean, there are lots of sports contesting for that title. But cricket has a good chance of making that in the US. And if that does happen, then it opens up the sport in a big way. So take the time, learn more about cricket, watch the IPL, watch the World Cup, and maybe root for India if you don't have anybody else you're supporting. All right, until then, see you guys next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com. where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.